Good evening. Welcome to our Monday Thursday service, which will include communion. The communion reminders are printed in the bulletin, but it is very important for everyone to know that all who have accepted Christ as their Savior and have repented of their sins are welcome at Harbor of Joy to receive communion. And as a reminder to those watching from another place, we encourage you to prepare a little bread, a little wine, or grape juice to serve yourself during the communion time when we are being served here, if you like. Our service this evening, we will revisit five men and how they were affected by those last hours before, during, and after the crucifixion. Information shared tonight has been gathered from a Lutheran website, from gospel scriptures, and from the profiles and footnotes found in the Life Application Bible. Maundy Thursday gets its name from the Latin word mandatum, meaning command. It signifies humble service and commemorates the new commandment Jesus gave to his disciples, to love one another. For Lutherans, the altar represents Christ, so at the end of our service tonight, the paraments and decorative articles will be removed from the altar to represent Jesus' earthly life being stripped from him through his torture and his death. And it also represents the humiliation he felt during the actual stripping of his clothes by the Romans. A black cloth will be added to the sanctuary cross to signify his abandonment and death. Stay as long as you like at the end of the evening, but we will leave in silence tonight as we go. I ask you to join me in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us together on this Thursday evening to worship you and to remember the evening that began the final hours of Jesus' commitment to you and to us as he gave his life for us. Amen. The first person we will consider this evening is Nicodemus. As a Pharisee member of the powerful Jewish council and most likely a very wealthy man, he may have been hosting in his own beautiful home a Passover meal on that Thursday night of Jesus' betrayal. Perhaps he was completely oblivious to what was taking place across town that night. He had been attracted by Jesus' character and miracles, and he had already begun to move forward in his personal belief in Christ by requesting a secret nighttime meeting in person with Jesus. As well, he had raised the question of justice in the Jewish council meetings as the group discussed ways to eliminate Christ. Before the crucifixion, due to his fear of being publicly exposed as a follower of Jesus, Nicodemus had remained in the background regarding his belief that Christ was the Messiah, but he was continuing to grow. Nicodemus is an example of God looking for steady growth, not instant perfection. The Bible does not explicitly tell us that Nicodemus became a Christian, but his actions of defending Jesus to the Sanhedrin and publicly assisting with the burial of Jesus indicate genuine conversion. The story of Nicodemus, of course, includes the part that we do know regarding that boldness in his risky move to join Joseph of Arimathea to ask for the bloody body of Jesus and to respectfully bury it. Nicodemus shows us that knowledge is not salvation. We need to know the Bible, but more importantly, we need to acknowledge the God who the Bible reveals and the salvation God offers. After Nicodemus learned of the resurrection and he truly realized what the life of Christ meant to him personally, perhaps this song is one he might have sung. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
Sometime during that Thursday evening, Jesus had gone from the upper room across the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas knew Jesus likely could be found in the olive grove because he often went there with his disciples. The next sequence of events, when Jesus felt abandoned by his sleeping disciples during his agonized prayers, the arrival of Judas and the arrest of Jesus are again well known to us through Scripture. But let's picture the possibility that Jesus may have walked in the garden at other times with other people. Perhaps he often met followers and friends there to stroll or share a quiet conversation in the relative coolness of the shade of the olive trees. Did he frequently share his love with people whose stories were never recorded or not yet discovered? Would he have spent time alone with his own thoughts there? We usually think of the song In the Garden as a funeral song of comfort, but it was chosen tonight to cause us to consider the quiet strength of our Savior as he prepared himself in those days ahead of his arrest, knowing he would soon offer us salvation. As we sing, picture yourself walking in an intimate personal visit with your Savior in the garden.
Falling on my ear, the sun. joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave
Peter's story of denial is another one we are quite familiar with. But another very young man who had followed Jesus during his ministry was Mark, also known as John Mark. Although he was not one of the original 12, he and his mother had provided their home as one of the main meeting places for Christians in Jerusalem. He wrote the Gospel of Mark, where we read that there was a nameless young man who fled in panic from the scene as Jesus was arrested, his clothes being torn from him as he ran for safety. It is very likely that Mark was writing about himself. Mark continued to be an example of immaturity, especially to Paul, in the years to come, when Mark couldn't, at least at first, make a solid commitment to serve with the other apostles in telling the message of Christ. Peter and Mark fell to the temptation that we all experience when we instead need to stand up and proclaim that message of Christ. In our own way, we often run from the opportunity to show our commitment to our Savior. Both Mark and Peter left Jesus in different ways, one through verbal denial and the other through physical distance. But the great part of the history of each of these men is that they both later became true believers and strong leaders, and told the story of their Savior. The picture on the screen depicts the two men. Years later, when Peter related eyewitness testimony of events to Mark, and Mark recorded them in the Gospel of Mark. The next song is chosen to represent the commitment they came to make, and the encouragement to each of us to follow that same path. The old hymn, I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus. Thank you.
blood of Christ began to be spilled on that Passover Thursday evening in the Garden of Gethsemane. As Jesus knelt to pray, he experienced hematidrosis, the extremely rare medical condition where an individual spontaneously sweats blood. It's usually caused by extreme physical or emotional stress. However, Jesus lost a great deal more blood throughout the next several hours before his death. Some accounts relate the total number of wounds and blows he received was 5,480, including what some call the five holy ones, four nails in his hands and feet, and one pierce wound. The Roman soldier mentioned in the gospel may have been splattered with the blood of Jesus if he helped place those nails, or perhaps just at the time he pierced the side of Jesus to prove his death. Either way, it seems unlikely that he could have completely escaped being touched by the blood of Jesus. It's difficult to imagine what the disciples thought when they saw the drops of blood on the brow of Jesus after his agonized prayer time. And it may be that the Roman soldiers were so accustomed to being splattered by the blood of their victims that it meant nothing to them. The important thing is that this Roman soldier became washed in the blood, as he realized and then even stated that this man on the cross was truly the Son of God. The next song has us asking ourselves a very important question: am I washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood?
Nicodemus, Peter, Mark, and the Roman soldier were each washed in the blood. The rest of the question for each of us is, how has my own personal encounter with Jesus changed me? If it hasn't, then we need to ask ourselves why, and better yet, ask Jesus to make that change in us. We continue with our brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we will take a few seconds for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. We praise your name. And I would ask you to join together in reading this prayer from the Lutheran Book of Worship. Together. Almighty and ever-living God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Our God, create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may obtain from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Yeah.
On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after the meal, he took the cup. He blessed it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for your sins and the sins of many. Drink you all from it. Do this in remembrance of me." All is prepared. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go ahead, come up. When you get this one. Would you move the two flags? Would you please move the two flags to the edge?
You got it. Mm-hmm.
We have a song that we would like to play. It's on the PowerPoint. Okay. Although we may usually picture Jesus being forced to endure the torture and death, he suffered for us. Our faith brings us to understand that he chose to climb up onto that cross in agony, but still willingly for each of us. God the Father loves you and wants you to stand upright before him because of Christ's works and not your own. We serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.